doing your credit's taken me a little bit more time. So let me say that to start with. Okay. Used to, I'd stop everything I'm doing and work on your credit. Okay. Now I do that on the side, is work on your credit. So it's a little bit more time consuming, but we'll help you. I mean, if you've got credit problems, and let's say you've got a 590, you know you can't buy a house, but you want to know what you can do to get to be able to buy a house in 6 months or a year. We'll help you with that. I mean, we really will. We'll have you come in. We'll visit about it. We'll have like plan one, plan two, plan three on what you can do. Okay. It's just not as fast as it used to be just because of the timeline that we're on.
Gotcha. So that actually kind of comes back to the question of what is the average rebuild times between bad credit versus the average rebuild time with someone with no credit? And then you...
Yeah, 6 months. If you have no credit right now, you have a zero non-scorable credit report.
Gotcha.
If you go get your credit card, like go to your whoever and get a secured credit card, it is 6 months from the day that you started to the day you have a credit score.
Okay.
6 months,
and
for sure.
And that is a credit score, not bad credit score. So
correct.
That is
correct.
Zero
if you make it on
score.
Time. If
gotcha.
You make those 6 months on time and you keep your balances down, what we usually say is get a $300 secured credit, $200, $300. You don't have to do anything big because you probably don't have the money to do it and still be able to buy a house.
Gotcha.
So do something minimal, $200, $300. I always say, go buy a tank of gas, pay it off. Go buy a tank of gas, pay it off. Show your ability to repay. In 6 months, you should have a decent enough credit score to buy a house. Now, if you've had bad credit, I mean, I've actually had people I've worked with that had the 400s, and it took a year with them doing everything that we asked them to do. It took 1 year for them to be able to buy a house, but they could. So credit is not forever,
okay?
Never, ever is everybody's credit can be better if you work on it.
That is correct. So remember, guys, credit is kind of like your direction in life. You can't get to where you want to go overnight, but you can always change directions, and you can do that starting today.
Yes.
So let's kind of move on to other parts of, say, a first-time home buyer. And you've got, on your monthly payments, you've got a variety of things. So it's a kind of whenever you're opening up that first mortgage bill, some of the things that you see, and somebody that has just bought their first property is not going to be familiar with. But let's talk about PMI.
Right.
And it kind of, what is the formula that's used for how much a PMI payment is calculated?
So on FHA, it's the thing good about FHA, again, no matter, well, it's good if you don't have unbelievable credit, okay? If it's awesome credit, we might switch you to a conventional. But let's say you got normal credit, let's say that you've got a low credit, it's all the same. The mortgage insurance is 1.75% added into the loan. Okay. And that's the what's called upfront, and they call it upfront mortgage insurance premium.
Gotcha.
And what we actually do, believe it or not, is that we put it in your mortgage because us as a mortgage company have to pay that to FHA upon closing. Okay.
Wow.
I think we have like 30 days to submit it FHA. That's in case of foreclosures on people.
And that's the entire, that covers the entire life of the loan.
Yes and no. Yes and no. It's only one upfront. Okay. Then you pay monthly.
Okay.
And it's 0.85% is how much you're going to pay monthly. And that's for the life of the loan. Okay. So you have upfront and then you have a monthly that you pay on FHA. And some people are like, I don't like the fact of it's forever. You can always refinance.
Very true.
Okay. So it's not forever, but for a lot of people, it gets them in a house. FHA will also accept a higher debt to income. Like we can go up, if you've got good credit, we can go up to a 56% or so debt to income. On a conventional, you cannot do that. So if you've got a lot of, let's say, student loans, if you've got this or if you've got that, sometimes conventional just doesn't fit you, but FHA would.
Gotcha.
And you can only have one FHA, okay? Like you can't at one time. So if you already have an FHA on a house and you decided you're going to rent it out, you cannot go FHA again.
Okay.
You have to go conventional at that time.
Gotcha.
Only one at a time.
Until you sell the other property.
So you sell the other property. Yes.
Okay.
Unless the property is over 100 miles away. So let's say that you move from
Midland.
Okay. You're over 100 miles. So you can keep that FHA and you can have another FHA here. If you move from Abilene, that's less than 100 miles, then you cannot. Okay.
Gotcha.
And they look it up. Trust me.
So
they look up the mileage.
You mean there's a possibility of getting a rental property in the Midland Odessa area? That is tragic, especially on an FHA interest rate.
That's exactly right. But FHA is really the ones that most people do use. We do also tell you to come get pre-approved.
Gotcha.
Don't go wasting your time and the realtor's time unless you get pre-approved, because you're going to be sadly upset when you think you're going to buy 200 and you qualify for 100.
Well, the other reason why the pre-approval side is, and so some of y'all that are haven't started looking or haven't started there, you're just kind of wondering about the buying process, and you call up a realtor and they ask you, hey, have you been pre-approved yet or not? The main reason why they will ask you that question doesn't have to do with the amount of house you can afford. It doesn't have to do with if they want to work with you or not. But one of the main reason why any realtor worth their salt will ask you that question is because right off the bat, there are some properties that will qualify for FHA, and there are some properties that will not qualify for FHA. You would not look at a property that does not qualify for an FHA loan or a VA loan, because a VA loan is even more strict in regards to its property conditions. And so whenever you are, whenever somebody asks you, have you been qualified, they're not trying to be a nosy Nancy, and they are not trying to see if they want to work with you or not, but it is simply for the fact is there is no reason to show you a property that you can't afford. With the exception, if you're dream building, and if you're dream building, you call me, because I'll get you there. Okay, sorry about that. I saw a mouse move across the wall there. We'll take a break, and we'll be back momentarily. And we're back. Thank you for joining us. This is Jim Kinchelow with Scott Allison Real Estate. I'm a realtor. Been here and practicing the art of real estate and the realty for about 5 years, and I've been blessed to ask to do the show today. And with me, I have one of the most spectacular individuals in the city of San Angelo. Her name is Valerie Priest, and the reason why I say she is one of the most spectacular individuals in the city of San Angelo is because she helps dreams come true. And a lot of times that dream accomplishment is defined as the purchase of your first home. So, Valerie, let's go back to our conversation we were having about FHA loans,
okay,
since that's the, by and large, the majority of your first-time home buyers.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes you will have, I will have a client, they'll come to me, and they've got good credit, but they have very little cash down, or maybe they'll have the 3.5% down, and so then they have to figure out where they're going to get that money. Now, that money can come from either a gift.
Right, gift from a blood relative.
From a blood relative. So your best friend from high school that you've known for 30 years, even though you call him your brother or you call her your sister, they legally, those funds cannot be
given from you. And we do. Now, they have started allowing fiancés. Okay. It's very particular. And what we have to go through for a gift is very entailed.
Very.
It's a gift letter. We have to verify the people had the money. We had to verify the people gave you the money. We have to be able to verify you got the money. So it's a very detailed, where your money comes from is very, very important. And a lot of people think that's kind of a little bit crazy, but it's just the rules. We have to verify where the money comes from.
Guys, one of the reasons why it's so important to be able to verify that is it's not necessarily the legal reason for that isn't, it's an anti-money laundering law that was passed by the federal government back in 2008, I believe.
Right.